Book of Ezekiel in the 10th chapter. And last week we started the fourth main point in this chapter, and that is the glory of God removing from the sanctuary. And we primarily looked at our introductory remarks last week. And saw that, just as we'd seen in the past, that Israel had gone to the point that they thought God didn't see. And that God didn't care what they did. And that carried over into the sanctuary. And they were forsaking his sanctuary. They were disgracing the sanctuary. So God is giving them a picture, and he's getting ready to leave their presence. He's getting ready to leave the sanctuary, as we see in our chapter, this 10th chapter. And we continued on, and this was not just among the people, but this was among the leaders as well, among the high priest and the priest. They had forsaken God. They were, the scene in the 8th chapter was that Ezekiel in spirit saw, by the manifestation of God, saw that the elders and the priest were worshiping God's creatures rather than God the Creator. We sometimes have the same problem. We didn't bring this point out last week, I don't think, but we sometimes have the same problem. We don't think right thoughts of God. Sometimes we exalt ourselves over God. Sometimes we come in to the worship services to worship God, and our hearts and minds are far from worshiping God. Sometimes it's on what I want or what you want or what's going to happen after we get out of here. In our minds, we're not upon the Lord. We, in those instances, we were worshiping self rather than worshiping God. We were putting our wants, our desires, our passions above God. And so we were worshiping the creature more than the Creator, ourselves. They had dishonored God in His sanctuary, but we noted before closing with Psalms 103, we noted and observed how readily all the forces of creation follow His bidding, follow His call. They obey His voice. They obey His will and His desire. And we even read in that 103rd Psalm that the righteous, the people of God, will seek to do so also. And so we know that we do. But it's a constant reminder to myself when I come in here, what am I coming in here for? What am I coming into His presence for? Am I aware when I come in here that I'm coming into His presence? I mean, it's serious business, folks. And we need to be aware of that. And the fact that all of His creation, well, Psalms 19 says, declares the glory of God. And other passages of scriptures that we read last week state that His creation declares the glory of God. And to me, as I think about it, that is great comfort. That is a great joy. It ought to be to every one of us that seek to do His will. It brings us to our point that we want to deal with tonight, and this is the only point we'll deal with, is He is God. Not small g, but capital G. We're going to read a passage of scriptures that says He's God of gods, which simply means that there is no other God. He is God. Because there's nothing else. All the rest He's created. And there's nothing that is able to stand against Him. Or stand higher than Him. Remember, one sought to exalt his throne higher than God. Exalt himself higher than God. I'll be like thee. I'll be over thee. O Lucifer, O Satan. He that is the God of Israel, He is God. I want us to read again in our text tonight, verses 18 through 20, the verses we've been dealing with. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. I believe it's next week we're going to deal with that thought. That the glory of God of Israel was over and above them. And how high above them was He? He was high above them. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Kibar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. He is God. He is God of heaven and earth, and all that is in either one of them. He's God of them. He is God over all. God over all. All. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy in chapter 7. How many of you know where I'm going? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, you ought to know this verse. Because I'm going to ask you again Sunday. Verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations. Know, therefore, that He is God. Do I know that? Do you know that? Well, tonight, right here and right now, I know that. But you just wait till the next moment. I'm trying to exalt myself in your hands. You know that He is God? Turn with me, Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 146. And when I next announce the next two Psalms, you're going to be wondering, what in the world? Why did he start at the back and work toward the front of Psalms? Well, there's a reason. But Psalms 146. I reckon we ought to read, beginning with verse 1. Verse 6 is the one I've got marked, but I want to get these others in there. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes. Don't make them your gods, small g. That's what you're doing when you put your trust in princes. How many of you tonight are trusting in the next president of the United States? You don't like this president, but you want to see the next president. Or maybe you do like this president. How many of you are putting your trust in him? You know, we have a responsibility as citizens of this country to cast our vote. Now, I believe it's God-honoring. It's God-honoring if we cast it according to Christian principles. According to Christian principles. That removes even politics out of the picture. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. He doesn't trust in princes, but he has the God of Jacob. We could say he has the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And when he says the God of Jacob, he's talking about the God of Israel. There's only one God. And the God of Israel better be your God tonight. Well, we've got a problem. You've got a problem. Which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. He made the heaven and the earth. And that ain't all he made, and all that is therein. Now, does that leave anything out? Everything that we labor and toil for here upon this earth, and we set our affections upon here upon this earth, God has created it. And if we're looking for it and seeking after it, it's our God and not the God who created it. Which executeth judgments for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. I just had to read that verse because that goes to the providence of God. He's the one that feeds us. He's the one that sustains us. He's the one that gives us our next breath. Is he your God? That's the God of Israel, the God of Jacob. Is he your God? If he's not your God, then he created it. And you're dishonoring the creator of that which you're honoring. Psalms 135. In verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the sea and all deep places. Whatsoever he pleased, that did he. How can that be? Because he's God. Because he's God that was created us all. And by virtue of the fact that he is the creator of it, the owner of it, he has the right to do with it as he pleases. And people don't like that. When you preach a God like that, they don't like that. But they have the right to do with as they please with what they own, don't they? They exercise that right every day. But they don't want God to exercise that right. Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Verse 3. Well, let's begin with verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. And not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And whatever success that I obtain in this life, it is because God allowed it. And true success is measured in a man's service of God. And not by the world's standards of success. By the world's standards of success, I'm a failure. By the world's standards of success, Grace Baptist Church is a failure. We're not seeking to please the world. Amen. We're seeking to please God. Capital G. You see. Israel's wilderness children were to know and to consider God. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. And you understand what I said, right? Israel's wilderness children. In other words, when they got to Kadesh Barnea the first time, and they rebelled against God, that is, everyone 20 years of age and older, rebelled against God and would not go in the land with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, and all of them died, and those children grew up. And that's where Deuteronomy comes. If you read in the first chapter there, you'll find that Moses writes in the 40th year of the wilderness wander. In other words, they had come to the completion of the 40 years, and they were back there. They were ready to go in the land. The Lord was getting ready to remove Moses and set up Joshua as their leader. But before he does, Moses is rehearsing with those children that had grown up and their children God's dealings with their forefathers. So Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. Now verse 35, excuse me. That's the first verse I want. Verse 35. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. He is stating the things that transpired and took place was showed unto them. They witnessed those things that they might know that the Lord, He is God. And that's the same thing that Israel in Ezekiel is told. That the dealings that God is doing with the remnant that are left, the two-thirds of them have fallen by the sword and by the pestilence and famine, and the remnant that is left, they're going to know that He is God. It's important tonight that you and I know that He is God. And not just tonight, and not just on the Lord's Day when we come into the house of the Lord, but we have to know it 24/7. Amen. And it ought to have an effect upon our life, the life we live before the Lord. So he said, unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. There's none else. The gold and the silver that you worship, that you just got to have more of because you don't have enough of, or you need want a new boat or a new camper or whatever, or a new house. That's not a God. There's none else. There's one God. Right. Amen. Whatever you set your affection on, He can destroy in a moment. All He's got to do is speak the word. And they'll be concerned, consumed. Ask the children of Israel. They witnessed it. They experienced it. Over and over. That's right. Verse 39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart. Know it in your heart and consider it in your heart. That the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. And I ask you tonight, I ask myself tonight, do I know it in the heart? Do I consider it in the heart? I stop to think that He is God and there is none else? Rahab knew it. Right? Didn't Rahab know it? Turn with me to the book of Joshua. I mean, her and her family seemed like they were the only ones that knew it out of the city of Jericho. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 11, she's speaking to the spies here and she says, "And as soon as we had heard these things, the things concerning Israel and how their God had worked for them and had prepared a way for them in the Red Sea and had defeated their enemies and had supplied them and furnished them with food in the wilderness and furnished them with water in the wilderness and their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Look at what Rahab confessed. "The Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." She's confessing that the God of Israel, He is God. And there's none else. Well, not only Rahab, but David declared it. Look with me at 1 Chronicles. The book of 1 Chronicles. And David has come to the end of his life. And he's leaving words with Solomon and others. And he says this in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12. Well, let's begin with verse 10. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee." So quit working overtime for it. If He wants you to have it, He'll give it to you. Just trust Him. "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all." Even that with what we're laboring for. Even that which we set our eyes upon. "And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." If you have strength tonight, praise God. Praise God. Doesn't matter how old you are. He's giving you strength. I've seen little kids that have no strength. They're paralyzed. I saw on news tonight a 14-year-old boy, 8th grader. He's had 2 kidney transplants already. The first one was at what, 9 years of age? 8 or 9 years of age. See, strength comes of the Lord. So if you have it at 2 or 3, praise the Lord. If you have it at 88, praise the Lord. If you have it at 100, praise the Lord. Well, David declared it. Rahab declared it. The children of the wilderness were to know and consider it in their heart, as we are. Well, what about another king? There was another king that didn't know it. By the time God got through with him, he did know it. Turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Verse 34, and at the end of days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That was after God got done dealing with him. Before that, Nebuchadnezzar had an image erected that every man, woman, was to bow down unto, and if they didn't, they were going to be thrown in a fiery hot furnace. The three Hebrew children refused to bow down to it. They knew that the God of Israel, he was God. He is God. And the God of heaven and earth delivered them from that fiery hot furnace. Nebuchadnezzar still being lifted up with pride. God abased him. Brought him low. When his reasoning returned to him, the end of the days, he exalted God. He knew that he is God. The Holy Spirit using Peter to write these words in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 3. The Holy Spirit using Peter to mention the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And states this in verse 22 concerning Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven. That is after his resurrection. Is gone into heaven. And is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. He is Lord of all. He is King of all. He is sovereign. He is God of all. All have been made subject under him. All don't know it now. But one day all will know it. Because they're going to stand and face him. The saved are going to be judged according to the things which they've done that are pleasing or not pleasing to the Lord. To put it in terms of the Apostle Paul, crowns. Put it in terms of the Apostle Peter, crowns. To receive our crown, or the lack thereof of crowns. But there will be one day when all those who have died without Christ going to be delivered up before the great white throne. Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire. Yes, he is God. I'm glad I know tonight that he's God. I just pray that I would know it more and more. Know it every moment of my life. I praise God tonight that I know he's the faithful God. He keeps his promises. He keeps his promises unto them that love him and obey his commandments. To a thousand generations. Oh, how many generations? To a thousand. I don't know how many generations have been since he created Adam and Eve. A thousand generations? A thousand generations? I don't know. How many generations can you get in 6,000 years? All right. That's our message tonight, dealing with that verse. Next week, as I promised you, we'll look at verse 19, the last part of it, considering particularly the glory of God being high above the cherubim. High above the cherubim. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word tonight. We thank you for the understanding that you've given to us concerning our great God. Thankful that I do know that he is God. That he is faithful. He is faithful to keep his promises unto me and unto all that love him and obey his commandments. You see, that's the stipulation. There are many tonight who say, oh, I love God, I love Jesus. But they do not your commandments. Oh, pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'd cause them to see. Use us to deliver the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to them. For we pray these things in